Hey, welcome to Thursday night Bible study, Grace Point. Anybody else out there listening? We're going through the book of Matthew. I'm going to get right into it. Father, we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, enlighten us, and show us what you've done for us in Christ. Let us get a better look at Jesus tonight and help me to present it, Lord, correctly. Amen. Okay. So we've been in Matthew chapter 8. I'm just going to read this first part again. I just have a little teaching about approaching Jesus tonight, and I'm just going to roll on to next week. So here we go. When he came down, he, Jesus, came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." So I want to talk a little bit about approaching Jesus or approaching God. And there's a couple ways that you can look at approaching the Lord as new covenant believers. You know that Christ lives in you, don't you? You know that, right? So in a certain sense, when I read this, I want to identify not with the leper. Now, if you don't know the Lord, you can identify with the leper. And I know even as we're being transformed into the image of Christ, sometimes we still identify with that leper, right? But I really believe that God, through the renewing of our minds, wants us really more to identify with Jesus. Think about that. Paul said, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Christ in you is the hope of what? Glory. He says in Ephesians 4 that he wants us to grow up unto the full measure of the stature of Christ. I think the church, a lot of times when we read these, we're identifying with the leper. And that's okay. I mean, if you're a non-believer, you don't know the Lord, that's exactly who you should identify with is the leper. And as a believer, I do understand that we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. But we want to be transformed where we get more of a Jesus consciousness than a leper consciousness. But there's something really powerful that we can learn from this. How did this leper approach Jesus? And when we pray, I talked about in Matthew 6 about how we approach God. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this: "Our Father who art in heaven, holy, hallowed, sacred is your name." So we should always approach God with a spirit of worship and adoration. And you'll notice this leper, the way he approached Jesus, he came and he knelt before him. And they called him Lord or Master. And that's a very humble approach. And, you know, what's really interesting about Jesus is that he receives worship. And I want you to note that. He receives worship. You know, Christ does live in us, but there's only one Jesus. And he's the Lord. He's the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He has lived for eternity's past. He is not created. He is not made. In fact, he's the one that has made everything. We have been transferred into his kingdom. We're new creations. We've been placed into him. And think of the power of that. We've been put into Jesus. But there's only one Jesus, and Jesus is Lord. And the leper has the right attitude and the right approach. He bows down and he says, "Lord, if you're willing." So flip over to Hebrews chapter 1. I want to make this real simple. Jesus receives worship because Jesus is the Son of God. And John 1 says he was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him. And it says that he was God. God was manifest in the flesh in the person of Jesus. I think that's amazing. And so you look in Hebrews chapter 1, he says, when God brought, this is verse 6, he says again, when God brings his firstborn, that's Jesus, into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Worship who? Worship Jesus. So one of the things I'm kind of getting at here is Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is God. Okay? We need to know that. There's different, I'm going to call them denominations, belief systems out there where they try to take away the divinity of Jesus. I truly believe, just like the Apostles' Creed, you know, Jesus is fully God, and he's also fully man. And I've talked at length about how he laid down his rights and privileges as God. He operated on earth as a man. It's easy enough to prove, you know, he was reliant on the Father. He was reliant on the Holy Spirit. He didn't do anything but in dependency on God. He became a man, and he became fully man, but he's still deity. It says, let the angels of God worship him. So let's remember, when we're dealing with Jesus, we're dealing with God. He says, but about the Son, he says, your throne, O God. This is verse 8 in Hebrews 1. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. We could go on there. So he says, about the Son, he says, your throne, O God. So Jesus is truly the Son of God. He's truly God. So when we approach Jesus, it's so weird because Jesus was interacting on earth as a man. He's talking to his disciples. You know, he's always telling people to look at him. He's loving. He's very approachable. He's very human. And yet in the book of Revelation, when John the Apostle saw Jesus in his glory, he fell down on his face and he started to worship him. Like it was a different scenario. He's seeing Jesus in all his glory, in all his splendor, and he falls on his face. It's much like, you know, when Peter, James, and John went up to the Mount of Transfiguration and they saw Jesus and he was glorified. It says his clothing was white as any, more white than any white that you would ever see on earth. And then Peter got nervous. They said they were afraid. They were trembling because Jesus is being glorified. So in one way, you know, even when we deal with Jesus now, in one way, yeah, he's very human. We can talk to him. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know, he's very approachable. He loves us. And in fact, if we just get this, by his Spirit, he lives inside of us, right? But on the other way, we need to keep in mind that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is to be obeyed. He is to be reverenced. He's to be adored. And he is to be loved. And that's exactly how the leper approaches him. And you'll notice that the leper got results, okay? He had the right attitude about approaching Jesus. And this is the whole thing. I teach this a lot on Sunday mornings here at Grace Point. You know, our approach to Jesus is very important. The Word of God, I'm going to flip over there to Philippians chapter 2, about how we approach Jesus, what pleases him. Do you know, in the wilderness, when the children of God approached Jesus, or they approached God wrong, and Jesus was with them in the wilderness, I believe he was the angel of the Lord. He went before him and behind him. I believe that Jesus, he is the manifestation of God. I believe he was there. And it said that their murmuring and their complaining did not please the Lord. Here, we're coming up to Thanksgiving this week. And when we approach the Lord, we need to come with the heart of thanksgiving. We need to come with the heart of gratitude. And we need to come with the heart of reverence. And when they complained and they grumbled, they got snake bit. I mean, they had all kind of trouble and problems. And also, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When you're complaining and grumbling, you cannot please God. I think because we're spoiled in many ways and we get our way when we complain and grumble, I think that sometimes the church thinks if we complain enough to God, he's going to hear us. There is nothing in the Word that says that. Nothing. says when we complain to the Lord, it's really unbelief and it doesn't please him. And here in Philippians chapter 2, I'll start with verse 12. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, good word there, not only in my presence, but also in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Isn't that amazing? So he's telling them, do everything without complaining. See, when we complain, you know, there is some truth to the saying, and I don't want to go too far along that line, but you get what you confess. When you walk with the Lord, you have to be in agreement with him. We need to hold fast our confession. We need to hold fast our thanksgiving. We need to hold fast our gratitude. We need to hold fast our praise. He says at the end, if we don't faint, we're going to reap a harvest. So if we're planting seeds of doubt with our words, if we're planting seeds of ingratitude, if we're complaining, we're going to reap a harvest. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, he says, if you sow to your flesh, of your flesh, you'll reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, from your Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. Now, what do you want to reap out there? Well, if we want to reap positive results from the Word of the Lord and from Jesus, then we need to be continually offering up the sacrifice of praise, continually giving thanks to his name. I am going to flip over there. That's in Hebrews 2. I didn't tell the truth, Brian. I do got one more scripture. I got to find this. Hebrews, I believe it's, maybe I got the wrong, it's in chapter 13. There it is, chapter 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, there he is again, Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, confessing his name. Isn't that powerful? So that's the attitude that God wants. When we approach God, when we approach Jesus, when we're working with the Holy Spirit, we need to have an attitude of gratitude, and we need our lips and our confession to be one of praise. It's very important how we approach the Lord. And the leper approached the Lord right, with reverence and with a heart of obedience and submission, and he got his miracle. Okay, we'll end right there. We'll pick up right there next week. Thank you.